This week on RSBNB Update, loyalty is crowned yet again, and we open the update time machine and head back to April 2017. We run through the achievement system then and now, covering its user interface, its potential, and the warning signs it presented for 2017. This is RSBNB Update, episode 884, recorded Thursday, May 26th, 2022. Achievements past and present. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of RSBNB Update. Tanis and myself are here, as we are each and every week. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
And, of course, I'll welcome back to our listeners as well. And the listeners of this podcast are probably wondering, gee, what are these guys going to talk about this week? Well, we were wondering about that, too, until we saw what the update was Monday. So we activated one of our backup plans, our contingency plans here. You guys might recall about a month and a half ago, we went back in time and talked about the rune span that went back to 2012. And the logic behind that was that there's a lot of updates to RS that weren't covered when we had the breadth of knowledge and experience that we do on the podcast. And those updates have also changed since then. And we're going to do that this week as well, except we're not going back to 2012. We're going back at this point. We're going back 5 years. 5 years. It doesn't seem like 5 years ago, but we're going back to April of 2017 when the achievement system launched. Because that in itself was an update that was very, very rough around the edges, and I think it's going to be fun to have a look back at that.
You know, I like to think of it as the updates have kind of matured, right?
Like, yeah,
over time they've kind of grown up, and now we can kind of look at them as a whole versus, you know, a little here, a little there. Now we kind of have the, you know, the benefit of, you know, hindsight, and we can kind of actually examine the update from the whole perspective.
Yeah, that's true. And Sirion was on that episode, and we actually have some clips from that episode that we'll be weaving in when we get to that segment. But before we do that, we're going to talk about the new Crowns of Loyalty and patch notes for the week. If you want to follow along, you can find our full show notes at update.rsbnb.com. I'm Shane12088. You can find Tanis in game at Tanis79. If you want to join our Discord, just head on over to rsbnb.com/Discord, and you'll get a link that will pop you into the server. So this week, in addition to patch notes, we got the next batch of loyalty crowns, because the members loyalty shop was first introduced on May 28th of 2011. And for people who have had unbroken membership since, the next crown of loyalty has been added. Specifically, they say, quote, "Now we're adding crowns for the next 5 years of membership from 2021 to 2025. And then they have a picture of the 11-year crown that you will get when your account qualifies for it. And of course, with that, there's also the loyalty shop and such. And I feel these are just nice little cosmetic updates, kind of a way to signify how long you've been around. So, I've had recurring membership since June of 2004. Believe it or not.
Yeah, so, it's kind of like the capes and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure capes and such. Yeah. And I'm sure I'll probably put it in my bank and stuff. But it's always there. And when you just happen to see it, be like, oh, I've been here a long time.
We've been through a lot. We've been through updates that worked, updates that were wonderful, updates that were less than wonderful. We've been through a pandemic.
Been through major life events like college, getting married, had children, like, life, you know, adulting stuff.
I honestly can't imagine going back to 2004 and thinking that this would result in what it has.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would have had any idea that it would have the longevity, you know, that it's had.
I have physically met up with people from this game.
Yeah. And that's awesome.
Imagine telling 2004 self you're that. Apparently, and this is a more common thing than we think it is, apparently people meet on RS and get married to each other. That's a thing that happens too. Believe it or not.
I've heard of things like that. I'm sure, you know, RuneFest past has probably been a lot of fun.
Yeah. They gotta bring it back.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I hope. But it's neat. Can you think of any other games like that? I mean, think about this. RuneScape has been around for so long that, like, it came back into style with, like, you know how some games kind of go retro, right? Like, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember this game. Yeah, I want to play that. And, like, that happened, like, organically with old school.
Right.
Like, RuneScape
and
was
then, and then there's some of those games that don't age properly.
There are some, yeah.
But there's so much in RS3, and I can't speak to old school. It's for people who prefer that more raw nostalgia feeling, I guess. But for RS3, it feels like it's managed to keep up relatively well with the times, in that if you've played it before, you'll still recognize it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And, you know, with that, it's probably a good thing we're doing the update we're doing this week on the podcast. So,
because this is something that has been through some changes.
Yeah. Geez, like, and the thing that hits me the most with this is just how much the world has changed around us and what we've been through, these once in 100-year supposed events that RS has been all there through. And that's the part that, going back to 2002 or 2004, whenever you created your account, just makes it feel absurd.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the history your account has seen.
It's like one of those old battle-worn generals kind of thing. But anyways, let's go on to the patch notes for the week. You'll be getting this crown on May 28th if you're eligible for it. Hard mode Glacier loot that was re-rolled with the addition of the Resonant Anima has been reverted to the previous loot earned for players who have yet to claim it. Yeah, Glacier chest changed when they brought in the hard mode Anima stuff last week.
Oh.
So what would happen would be that if you had something in your chest that you wanted, you would effectively have gotten a different chest contents after that Anima update. And if you didn't claim that new content, they re-rolled it to what it was previously.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I might still have a streak in there from who knows when. Last time I had a Reaper there, I think, but it couldn't have been that much because normally those Reapers are only, you know, 4 to 5 kills. So, improve the positioning of the player's hands while wielding Azaro's Godsword. Fixed an issue where fishermen at the deep sea fishing hub did not have their fishing rod cast. Slackers, they say. I guess they won't be doing a rod cast. Like we are. Is that a good one? I don't know. Here's a fun one. Having the combatant's cape and the augmented Elysian spirit shield equipped at the same time no longer causes a portion of the shield to disappear while sheathed.
Okay. Very niche.
Yeah. Fixed an issue where players could receive 0 Slayer points for completing a task during co-op Slayer.
Ooh.
Graphically improved the moss-covered rocks in the Taibowani mining site. And here we thought we weren't going to have any major updates to Karamja for a while. We can't really change the content and embrace the, how did Mod Osborne put it, the colonial history of it. But we can definitely add some moss to the rocks.
Are you saying we shouldn't gentrify Karamja?
I don't know. Oh, but I honestly don't feel like you could remove that island or rework it entirely, because so much of the quests, like Shiloh Village and Jungle Potion and the Taibowani quests and such, are all built around being in a jungle with colonists there and such, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I you know, I think you could rework, definitely graphical rework Karamja and bring it into the modern time. It's just that, like you said, it has so many quests, so many tie-ins, that it would be such a huge job for content that basically most players have passed at this point.
Yeah.
But it could be done. Like, you could make it look nice. Like, you can make it look like a jungle, I'm sure.
Yeah, you could. We know that's possible from the arc and whatnot. All right, I'm going to try and say this word now. Poços and Poção, that's potions in Portuguese, hopefully I got that right, are no longer flagged by the profanity filter.
Okay.
Yeah, just interesting language bug there. Required achievements for the Master Quest Cape now display properly in alphabetical order. And Oyu the Quietist and Arhat the Paragon inside the Temple of Amanishi now give the correct amount of experience when killed. Mini bosses.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not too big a patch note there. And also, in the coming months, RuneScape will no longer support Windows 32-bit and graphics cards that do not support OpenGL 3 or higher. Now, in reality, for the vast majority of people, you're not going to have a problem with this. What this effectively means is that unless you're using the weird one-off version of Windows XP that was 64-bit, Windows XP 32-bit and Windows 7 32-bit will no longer be supported for RS, and ancient graphics cards that were probably, I want to say, pre-2011, if I remember when OpenGL 4 came out, 2010, 2011-ish, I'd say, graphics cards from that era likely going forward will not work with RS. So that's the kind of obsolescence we're looking at here, stuff going back to 2010 or before. Which isn't too bad when you think about it.
No, and kind of mind-boggling when you think about, like, you can play
it's OpenGL 3 or higher that's needed. So, that's fine. But, yeah, that's what we're looking at. Going back to 2010-ish, I want to say, based on that. Yeah. Hey, I was almost right. OpenGL 3 came out in 2008.
Okay, I thought 7 was more around that time.
Yeah. Okay. So basically at this point in time, if you're running Windows 7 64-bit and a graphics card from 2008 or later, you'll be fine. What game can you say that for? Oh, you need at the minimum you need Windows 7 64-bit and a graphics card from 2008 or 2009.
I can't think of any.
Exactly. But if you have a computer newer than then, you'll be fine with that. So, amazing. Amazing stuff, now that we think about it. All right. I think it's time to go back in time, and this is our series we're calling RuneScape Then and Now. We're going to talk about achievements. So, we go back to April 2017 for this, when the achievement system was added to the game. It was accompanied by the Path system, which aimed to get people into various different aspects of the game. Sirion was co-host of RSP&B Update at the time, and he was on for this episode. What did you think about the achievement system when it came out in 2017?
Oh, actually, I had a little bit different take on it than you guys did.
Oh, really?
At the time.
Okay.
Just because I understood what you guys were saying on a technical level,
sure,
and agreed with it. But at the same time, I saw where they wanted to go and what they were trying to accomplish, and I did appreciate that, because this, you know, it gave us the list of, you know, comp recs, and it gave us like all of this, basically the framework that we have today.
Yeah.
And so it was like, I liked that they were trying to do, you know, something different, while still acknowledging the things that you guys, you know, had so obvious, you know, obvious things that you guys brought up.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was an interesting time for us, because at this point in time, we were waiting for Shattered Worlds. We were also waiting for Metaphos, which we know how that one turned out, Metaphos, that is, and what that meant for expansions. And it was interesting because we actually talked about that too on episode 615. With that, and I'm going to go back to the news post from April of that year for this. So they called it the achievement system, which brings tasks, raid feats, and completionist / quest cape requirements and more into a slick new interface. Now with this, there is also the path system, including a number of paths, including the new adventurer path, recommended quests for a new player, new combatant, which recommended PVM content, God Wars dungeon via the Trollheim teleport, God Wars 1, that is, a route to God Wars 1 through Edgar's Ruse, then the God Wars dungeon through the God Wars teleport, which was the Mighty Fall quest, Lunar Diplomacy, path to the Lunar Spellbook, Ancient Spells, Path to Desert Treasure, Ancient Curses, Path to the Temple of Sintistan. We know where that one led. The Elven City of Priftinus, Path to Plague's End, and Bossing.
That was...
Boss is an appropriate order of difficulty. And that's what the achievement
system was. The one everyone was using.
Yeah.
Because they were all, everyone's getting their alts into the Prif.
Yeah. And... The problem that we faced with this is that if you were a player like we were, in that you'd done all the quests and such, and you weren't into PVM, you got nothing from this update, really.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no achievements for it at the time, and it was effectively a waiting game combined with what we had for the user interface on that. So... They also said, as well as being a tidy way to see existing achievements, the new system is eminently extensible, and you can expect it to be updated regularly with new things to do, not least when Metaphos hits this summer. We know how that went.
Everybody loved each and every one of those things they had to do, too, didn't
they?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. All the city quests, all the reputations.
Infinitely,
oh, what a time.
Extendable.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't lying.
Eminently extensible. I imagine the high society voice happening with that right there. And we had high hopes that the system would foster a new style of play focused around the achievement meta that you see on game consoles and such, people going for completionists there. Interestingly enough, I feel like we got there in the end on the comp side. I don't know. But maybe we'll get into that after. The UI wasn't intuitive. I already mentioned the path's not making sense for established players, suggesting activities like teleporting to Trollheim or killing cows, and missed opportunities as well. But to go into more of these, we're going to have a little bit of a listen to some of the words that we had to say when we started that episode. So we're going to go back in time now and have a quick listen to the introduction of episode 200, or episode 615. If I can find the right window where I put that. Here we go. I think by you guys hearing the way we're talking about this right now, you might think that this is the update from hell, and we absolutely despise this update. I think that couldn't be further than the truth, because I think we should start off by saying that both you and I had the absolute highest expectations for this. update.
I mean, this was going to be my update of the month. This was an update I've been looking forward to for like a couple of months now, I think, ever since they first announced it.
Yeah.
I whittled on the episode that we found out that this was happening for like, I think, a good 20 minutes about the possibilities.
Yeah, I remember all the various design aspects you said we could have worked into here.
Yeah, and the amazing possibilities that this would have like given. So I was looking forward to this update and had like a lot of expectations. And while I realized that I didn't expect everything to be worked into this system right from the start, I added it to... I expected it to have feature parity with everything we have in game right now, but have it be a solid foundation for those future changes. So I was really excited to see what was happening. I was really excited to start using it in slowly taking off the like tasks to like Master Quest Cape and Completionist. So like the expectations for this update were really, really high. And I mean, that makes it easy to be disappointed, but I think even with very neutral, objective looking at this, there are some flaws in this update.
And to be fair here, this isn't going to be, you know, this is the absolute most horrible update ever, and it should be removed from the game kind of thing, and Jagex are idiots for making it. That's not what you're going to hear here today. In fact, I'd actually like to start out with something good that came from this. And I think perhaps one of the things that's the best executed from here for a new player is the series of new paths that they brought in. What's your take on what we had there for our early introduction on the system?
Well, I mean, it was pretty spot on how things were going to shake out, right? Like, it did end up being a framework. And now I'm curious of what that positive thing was that you were going to, that you started.
It was
with
the path system, the path system for new players.
Okay.
Yeah. And
okay. Yeah.
And the interesting part about that is that I think it was 2020, September 2020, we had the new player experience update in September, where that entire early start of the game was updated in preparation for mobile. And what I learned with that is I actually made a new account for that update when that happened, just to try it out. And that blew me away. And it blew me again away this past November when I made my alt, the scaling alt. Mm-hmm. How easy they made the onboarding into the game, using what was this achievement system in 2017 compared to right now. You make a new account, you start off in Berthorpe, you're effectively given a checklist of things to do, and you're pointed into that area, and it uses this system that came out in April 2017. So in many ways, I think if that update, the core of it, did something well in April 2017, it was that paving the way forward for the new player experience. And remember, this was April of 2017. We were told that mobile would be launching later that year.
Yeah.
So this was supposed to be in preparation for that too. But obviously we know when mobile launched. So I think at the end of the day, that's one thing back then that I'll take away from this, and one thing today that I'll take away from this, is that the new player experience is predicated heavily on the achievement system. And it works really well. And to the point, if you've not made a new account in a decade plus, make one and just see how it is, even if you don't continue playing all the way through it, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that side of it. And I think that turned out well. And I was glad that we were able to bring that kind of level of positivity to it back in the day. So there's
that. Well, and I think the framework was well established, you know. I mean, bringing all of these things together that made sense for them to be together made sense. But I'm sure we'll hear more, you know, about what Sirion was talking about, some of the issues with the UI and things like that. And, you know, I'm some of them still persist. Most of them have been worked out. So
yeah, and that's actually where I want to go next, to talk about a good number of the user interface problems that we had with that. So we're jumping forward a few minutes in the podcast. So if you want to listen to this, it's episode 615. If you want to listen to it for posterity's sake, we'll find it useful. Now, that comes with a big if. And that big if is that if you can figure out how to use the system, how it is right now. Well, I mean, if you go on a path, okay, that's good. And you can pop open the new active achievement thing, assuming you activate on your path, and you'll be good to go. And you can get that as a little side window that you can dock to the side of your screen. But the main achievements window under the hero main menu, I don't know how to describe this, because, like, you first open this window up and you're greeted with a screen that shows you how many of the achievements you have completed. I'm currently at 885 out of 1203. And then below that, it shows you recently completed achievements with areas for four of them. And, you know, something that was really absurd to me, and, you know, I've done this a million times before, is I teleported to Trollheim and I got an achievement complete for doing that at level 138 combat and 2600 plus total level.
Yeah, that's because it's part of the Gold Boss dungeon.
Oh, that's lovely. All right. So on this screen, you see almost there, and it shows your achievements that you are almost near completing. So one of the first ones it showed was that I could go get more kudos at the Varrock Museum. Okay. The achievement was called Kudos to You. But on this page here, there's nothing that says it's at the Varrock Museum. There's no way for me to click that achievement and go to a more info display that would tell me to go to the Varrock Museum and what exactly a kudos is, if I wasn't aware of that to begin with. And the overview page is completely separate from the actual achievement page. So it's almost as if they are two distinct user interface systems that don't interact with one another at all, which is kind of absurd, because how are you supposed to find Kudos to You, or the next one, Claws is Rising, out of 1,203 achievements?
So, Shane, do you know what it suggested to for me to do?
What did it suggest to you?
Collect miscellaneous notes.
And what is that?
I don't know. I think it might be dungeoneering lore drops, but that's just speculation by now. Yeah, it wasn't very descriptive.
See,
and these are things that are part of like trimmed completionist requirements, or like master quest cave requirement. Those are long lists for me still, because I still have a lot of lore drops to go. So there's no way I can figure out what it is.
You open that up and you can't click on it. And even if you did manage to find it in the grand achievements list, it doesn't give you any info on how to complete it. Like, you can't mouse over it and see where to do it, or, you know, what your progress is at, even though they said we were going to get progress bars along the way. That would kind of...
Even though it's aware that you almost completed it and shows you on the initial page how far you are, if you actually go and look it up, it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Like, I found Kudos to You, and that's a completionist requirement. It's giving me a completionist requirement as one of the first ones I could complete, which I understand that. I might want to, you know, tick off some things that are easy to do, but how am I to find that on an interface that ultimately starts off with suggesting I level skills up to 99, and then I need to go into the completionist requirements? And,
oh, yeah, I think it actually told me that I'm almost there with maxing all my skills, which means 21 more invention levels and like 10 more dungeoneering levels, I think. Almost there, right?
Right. And, you know, this has also incorporated the old task sets. So you'll find tasks for the dungeoneering and Mauritania and Karamja and all those task set also in here. And for those of you guys who remember the old system, you will be reminded that previously it would tell you a bit of a hint as to how to complete that. It would tell you where to complete it and what levels you needed if you weren't able to complete it. So now you're given a list, and the achievement appears as red if you are unable to complete it. And you're kind of left to your own wits to figure out what the achievement actually is, providing the description, isn't up to par. Because, you know, some of these really aren't up to par. Because, like, for example, thoroughly aghast, looking at my Mauritania task set that I haven't gone back to in a long time, summon a ghast familiar in Mauritania. All right, I know what that is personally because I have done temple trekking before, and I know that's a reward that you can get from that. But how is someone who is just starting off the member's experience and working through Mauritania going to know what this is until they stumble upon temple trekking? And that was our general theme of the run through of the UI segment for this. And you can tell how rough it was at the time that you couldn't even navigate between achievements with that.
And then I was thinking you probably were using this, you know, pretty often when you were going for comp.
I used it every day when I was going for comp. Yeah.
It's kind of.
And it's an entirely different system from what we described there. Because for people who are watching on the YouTube version, you'll see that there would have been no navigation between the main achievement screen and the achievement list and the details of the achievements. There would have been no navigation on all those. Put simply, you had to see what was on the main screen and then go into the various sublists and find it. And in that, you'd sometimes forget what you were doing. Whereas with now, you click the achievements thing and it pops up the entire list of skills, exploration, area tasks, combat, lore, activities, completionist feats, and grace periods, which we're still waiting for the Aya stuff, by the way, to be completed here. But as you can see, you can just effectively now choose Master Quest Cape, drill down, and you click on one of the achievements, and then it takes it directly to where it is in the subsequent list, and then you can even expand that further to see which areas you're missing. So this, I feel, specifically around the UI stuff, it's been completely realized of what it can become. So I'm happy with where we're at today with the UI, and I think this was fixed in a Ninja Strike, honestly, getting ready for mobile stuff, if I have to remember correctly, about where it actually got better.
Well, it had a few. Like, there was one whole, like, achievement system that was kind of an update to it that was the headliner, and I think also an Ninja Strike. I think there was two.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And you know, just to show that we weren't able to do this before, like right now, one of my most recent achievements is Superiority Complex 1, defeat Vraklith 5 times. Now I can actually click that and it will take me to that achievement. I didn't do that on launch. And same thing under the You've Almost Finished tab, where Sirion was wondering about his miscellaneous letters, minus the Mamoros and Thok letters. I've found 70% of them in Daemonheim so far. I can click that, and then on the list, it pops up and it shows me which ones I'm missing. So it does exactly as it should have done. And I guess with that, I can ask the question, do you think we were being too harsh on the UI back then for this?
No, because I think what you said was true. It was extremely difficult to find things, and even when you did, you didn't have the information that you were looking for, about them. So no, I don't think so, because where it was is not where it's at, and that's, I think you have to call it as you see it as it comes
as
out.
As it was back then.
I think what you did.
Yeah, and I mean, this led to some very serious discussions later on in the episode that we'll get to. But it effectively, I won't spoil too much about where we're going, but one of us did ask if there needs to be some kind of person in charge to kind of put their stamp down on quality. And we'll talk about who that was when we get there. of course. So I guess with that, I want to ask you, how do you find the achievements UI in this day and age for you, yourself, from an accessibility angle?
So I actually find it, I find it easier, much easier than when it first came out. I also think like it filled out nicely. I don't think things don't feel, it feels a little bit more intuitive. Like before, it felt like things were really, really buried.
Right.
And it was hard to find. Now there seems to be more rhyme and reason to it. So it's a little bit easier. Like it's just a little more intuitive, I guess, is what I would say.
Yeah. I mean, we even have the favorited achievements and stuff right now. We got the fun little UIs showing how close you are to Master Quest, Max, Comp, and Trim and whatnot. And with that, I guess you're right that you have to look at it with how you call it, right? So,
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Oh, apparently I'm missing two achievements from the accidental skilling achievement. There were 11 of those put in. I'm missing the plop thickens, use Potterington blend 102 fertilizer or dinosaur propellant on prehistoric Potterington. And potting is such sweet sorrow, help Bill near the mystical tree realize his potential.
Huh. Yeah, I love these names. Huh?
Yeah. Okay. I guess I didn't look at that when that was there. But that's why I think we called the skilling station, the accidental skilling update at the start of the month here, a blueprint of what a good skilling update should be, because it introduced a novel training method, it had good onboarding, but most importantly of all, it felt complete to the point that it had all these achievements with it too.
Yeah. So. And to be fair, a lot of the new updates, the new bosses, new God War, I mean, all of that stuff has been complete with, you know, these achievements. Once it kind of gotten fixed up, I feel like it's really been incorporated well into all the new content that's come out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, this is a nice UI looking at it. And you're right. You use this every day if you're going for Comp or Master Quest or Trim. So, All right. The next part we wanted to talk about was the missed opportunities that this resulted in, because we were at a point in time with the game update where we knew Menaphos was coming. We knew we were going to have an update called Shattered Worlds that was effectively proposed to be like a modern PVM climbing scenario, right? But we know it kind of fell flat when it landed in May of 2017. And, you know, Tanis, this was another thing I was thinking we could have went back on and talked about was Shattered Worlds. But I didn't really want to do that because we just had a Ninja Strike on that last year or something, and I felt like it was fixed up, and we did that back then. So, but
yeah,
that's the kind of thing we're looking at for this. Menaphos, and that was to be Expansion 1. There was going to be an Expansion 2 and 3, which was never really fully acted upon because of that, and we all know what happened after that. But have a listen to this section on missed opportunities, and you'll kind of see a little bit of foreshadowing of what wound up happening in the rest of RuneScape's 2017.
This was a launch and iterate process, right? They're going to add more stuff. They're going to make improvements to the system as new things get added, that kind of stuff. This was supposed to be a foundation for a lot of future stuff. The problem is that Jagex hasn't gotten a great track record of releasing something and then promising expanding on it in the future and then doing it. I mean, a few notable examples, like you mentioned the group system. Like, we haven't really seen any improvements on that except for when Raze came out.
Yeah, and I hid that from my interface completely because that's how useful it was.
Then there is, for example, Clan Citadels. Like that's another thing that was announced with huge fanfare, and then nothing really happened with it. The entire clan system sort of fell dead. I mean, can I come up with more examples? Probably, but like I think the idea is clear that lots of things sort of get released and then sort of hang because and never get picked up again. And that's probably part of the upsetting part of this update, is that there is this fear that we are stuck with what we have right now, and we'll probably see a bunch of fixes maybe like next week, but I doubt they will really pick this up.
Yeah, they're not going to be huge changes.
No, I doubt it. Jagex doesn't do that stuff very often.
Yeah.
And that makes this a problem, because this is, I think, an essential part of the game, and
it's broken right now.
The point is, this should have gotten a lot more effort put into it. I think Jagex is severely underestimating the significance of this system, especially given that the tutorial in Inkscape is fairly short, very limited, and very basic. This is sort of supposed to put you off on the world. This is supposed to be the connection between a new player and a player that knows what they're doing. And it's just not working right now. And this was also a tool that could have been used to revive minigames. This could have been used to center activity in certain areas, make the game feel more active and more social. This could have been used to incorporate daily challenges, make them bigger and wider, and make people do stuff together. This could have incorporated so much stuff, and without this strong basis, that's all not going to happen. And that is all huge missed opportunities. And I think we need these opportunities these days.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And were we right on that? Or again? I mean, I feel like we just finished discussing about how it wound up forming the framework. But once again, should we have expected that from the launch product?
I will say there was one thing that you guys weren't sure about.
Yeah.
And actually did come to pass. And
which one was that?
A great thing. They did stick with it. It did get improved. It took the same amount of, I mean, it took the time that you guys were talking about, but it wasn't just like, oh, that didn't work. Leave a dead piece of, you know, content in the game. Like, it actually did get fixed up, and it wasn't just left to fester endlessly.
Yeah. And once again, and you know, maybe this is part of looking back at these kind of pieces of content, but was it fair of us to say that this should have been built as something that was going to demonstrate what it would look like once it becomes fully realized in its full potential? Because a lot of people at that time were focusing on the here and now, and I feel like we were right in pointing out that this needed to be a keystone going forward, which it turned out to be. But were we a little bit too harsh on that, I wonder?
The only thing with that is, I mean, you don't know what you don't know at the time, right? So
yeah.
Looking back, does it look like it might have been a big ask to want everything that we have now in one update like that? Yeah, it looks like that now. But at that time, you didn't necessarily know what was all going to be part of this, you know, 5 years down the road. So in that respect, you know, I think you guys were spot on when it comes to calling it like you see it. But looking back, we have the benefit of hindsight, and we can say, well, there was actually a lot to it. There was a lot added to it. It works, you know, much better now. And it probably would have added another 6 months of development time. right?
Which they didn't have time to do because we were already in kind of a content drought leading up to this, because we had this in April. May was Shattered Worlds. June was going to be Menaphos. And then we were already on that track with the on-location shoots in Morocco for those Menaphos updates. So, and, you know, I want to thank some Patreon supporters, but you reminded me of a very proficient quote from a former American official, if I can quote someone. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know, but there are also unknown unknowns, the ones we don't know. You know who that was?
Sounds like a Bushism.
And I was thinking that was kind of the same thing of what you were saying. You don't know what you know, but there were things that we knew at the time. And that was the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld.
Oh, okay. It was in the right administration.
There you go. All right. We got the next big segment coming up off of that, and we highlighted the missed opportunities and such. But before we continue on, I'm going to thank our Patreon supporters for this week, because we truly value what you guys bring to us, and it's weeks like this that we rely on that so much. Sirion and I sat down earlier, started producing the next monthly bit that you guys voted for about RNG. We got a nice framework for that. We were able to, Sirion's always good at quantifying things and putting things into categories, and we did that for RNG, and that forms the basis of the episode, but you can look for that at the tail end of next week. But this week in particular, I'd like to thank Amos Reed, Andrew C, Arounds, Arvids L, Big Huge Rat, Bryflex, Kristen S, Chunk the Monk, Diana, Dominic F, Drama Free, Duramax, Elo Matey, Flaws a Man, Free Milk, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jeebus, Jesse W, Ling 01, Mohan V, Nate the Great, Nick G, OTR Gamer, Patty the Architect, Parnassius, Ricky A, Samuel FL, Skiotan, Scott DS, Seth W, Stab Eve, Tabby, Taylor B, The Naked Captain, Tom V, and Zant. Thank you, everybody, for your support. As I mentioned, truly means the world to us. Next monthly bit is being produced. It'll be about RNG and numbers, about how all that works in game and what it truly means, going behind some of the math of it. Sirion had, I think, two or three math realizations when going through some of the numbers. For those of you guys don't know, he has a degree in mathematics as well as game design, so it's kind of easy to see where he comes from on that. But look for that at the tail end of next week. And of course, also, you guys all have a little surprise coming in the mail. If you had your shipping info and you were subscribed to Patreon by May 1st, there's something in the mail for you guys. That went out earlier this week. So we'll just leave it there, and I'll wait until those start to arrive. So should be in about 10 to 14 days for people in the U.S. And for those of you guys in far reaches of the world, just wait for it. It'll get there. It'll get there. But thanks so much, everybody, for making this possible. And if you want to join in, just check us out at patreon.com/rsbnb. Starts as little as a dollar a month. You gain access to the entire back catalog of monthly bits with that. For $3 a month, you can get a VIP rank on Discord, including special chat channel access and a mention to the podcast at the start of the month, and high quality of stereo versions of the show. And for $5, you'll receive a shout out on the podcast each and every week, and you'll gain exclusive access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show. At the end of the year, and this week, we hit the milestone. We're halfway to the Hot Ones special.
Oh, man.
We're halfway there.
Getting hot in here.
And Earth is absolutely looking forward to moderating that.
Yeah, we should. Well, what he doesn't know is if you host the Hot Ones, you have to do the last dab.
You're not gonna get him to do that.
Well, I mean, they would don't want to be responsible for breaking tradition.
Oh boy, patreon.com/rsbnb if you guys want to see that. And with that, we get back to the achievements, or the achievements, the achievements of 2017. Yes, mm-hmm. Sounded weird saying that. All right. So our next clip from the episode is a bit of a longer one. It's about 7 minutes long, so we're going to let that run from where we left off. Do you have any comments before we head on into that one about what we've talked about so far and what we talked about back then in 2017?
No, I mean, it just kind of feels a little prescient, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. It does. All right. Picking it up. Find the window. There we go. Just an update on this. There is no color change when scrolling through harder achievements. So.
I think we better make the point clear on like what we think about this update. I think something that is worth mentioning is what repercussions or what conclusions we can draw from this update coming out in the state that it is.
Yeah, and you know that's actually a very good point. Is that you know this could have been a huge update, but the idea behind it was great. It's just the execution really seems to have fallen flat.
Mm-hmm. And I compared this system to Guild Wars 2 system. I compared this to World of Warcraft system of exploration, where like every time you enter a new area, you make some progress towards an achievement. You get some experience, which awards exploration. And in Guild Wars 2, the main use case is like every day you get like 8 tasks, and if you complete 5, you get a big reward. I mean, imagine that. Imagine that every day everybody gets the same, say, 8 tasks assigned to it. If you complete 5, you get a mystery box.
Yep.
I mean, everybody gets the same activity. So if the activity says, go play Barbarian Assault one game, you get lots of people playing Barbarian Assault.
And that would do even more than the spotlight system.
It would, and there's so much potential there, and like just the fact that that doesn't get the significance assigned to it that it does is problematic, especially given the other big things that are supposed to revive RuneScape are coming out this year, and I'm in particular referring to both Shattered Worlds and Manifolds, of course.
Two very hyped updates that need to succeed.
Yeah, like if this is the level of execution that we see from Jagex, is the competence, is the skill to do the implementation of these, is it even present within Jagex?
I think it is present. I just think it's a problem of that we talked about last week, too much reliance on the player base to make opinions and guide updates, because you know, we had a survey on this and we had a video on this and a Q&A and everything. We had the whole works, but yet this comes out. And
but do you think it's player feedback that made the interface be such a scrambled mess?
Well, I think to a degree, JX is tiptoeing around on the interface because, as we talked about before, they would love to do something probably that can be revolutionary, but if they do that, how is that going to feel to the 50% of the population who either like something or don't? So that's one side of the hand, and the other side of it is that you get, I think what you're describing is an incomplete process. I think they have the talent, I just don't think they're doing it right, and the other side that I mentioned. I want to take a pause right there, because that was fairly hard-hitting, wasn't it?
It was hard-hitting, but it hard hitting on the head on the nose.
And this was the part that made me realize, yes, we absolutely made the right choice in covering this again this week, because we mentioned Shattered Worlds and Metaphos, the next two updates that were supposed to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And those hit flat.
Mm-hmm.
And we know where we went after that with that. Like you said, very, very, very prescient on that. I'm gonna let this run for the next 4 minutes until we get to the end.
Yeah, I mean, what they need is somebody to go and sit and design this, and then you can collect player feedback. But instead of just incorporating the player feedback into your design, you should see what the root cause for that feedback is.
Yep.
Try and extract why people are saying that, and then finding your own solutions, which may match the players or maybe something completely different, and incorporate those in your solution. Like, it's another 1-1 thing. Like, player feedback, yes, but sometimes you have to deviate from player feedback because you're the expert. So they need somebody to properly design it. Then they need people to test it without foreknowledge, without knowing how the system works in advance.
Exactly.
So that they can emulate a new player's experience with it. And then they need somebody to sign off. I think what Jerix is missing, because of this really solid release schedule of one release every week, I think what they need is they need some person, some executive person to say, yes, we can ship this. This is of a sufficiently good quality. And I think that's also missing because, like, there's this hard date where it has to go out.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing on that, I've long called for this and it could be done, but player test server.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I mean, and this really makes me worry because we have a release date for Manifest, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
That's going to go out if whether it's ready or not. And I am not sure if it's going to be ready. And it's the biggest hyped up thing this year. Like, how many people are waiting for it? How many people are waiting for 120 Slayer to be amazing? How many people are retaining their membership currently because they want to experience Manifest? How many people got premium because of that?
You hit the nail on the head, and that leads to the most disturbing point from this update, is if this can happen with the achievement system, which is, you know, on the core of it, maybe a few new mechanics under the hood, but largely an interface change. If this can go bad, if this can go this bad and not be usable when it comes out, what is the cost to Jagex and the player base if this happens with one of the expansions this year?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something for everyone to chew on and think on. Obviously, we don't want that to happen, but
the position of RuneScape and Jagex is probably sufficiently fragile that these things are going to have a really, really big impact. Like, we already have this weird split in community between old school RuneScape and IS3, which is putting, I think, the community in a more vulnerable position. And these big failures, like, every game can only have so many of them. But, like, especially if you're in a position where user trust is not as at its highest, then you have to be really, really careful that you don't do these weird stunts too often, because then you get real trouble.
Yeah. Continue.
I wanted this to be a good update so badly because I understand the significance of it, and I wanted to trust JackX on this. I did. I said I trusted them to do right and to make sure this is a good system, and then they failed me, and I don't think I've ever had this big of a hit in JackX trust as this week.
Yeah. Woo! Woo! That was something, wasn't it?
It was, and how correct was that? Because
we
actually did get someone, right? We did get someone.
I want to paint a picture of where we went after this update with this. We went to Shattered Worlds after this in May of 2017. Okay? Then we had Menaphos in June. The Magister in July, and then a series of patch weeks, boom, 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 through July and August, that had no substantive content. It was Menaphos, and that's it until September when Invention Batch 2 released. Because on July 7th of that year, and we had to gather everybody around for this big reversal away from the expansions at the time. That spurred the unfinished business train, including things like Invention Batch 2 and such. And looking at the rest of the updates for the year, Invention Batch 2, September, The Lost Grove, end of September. October, some free-to-play improvements and Dimension of the Damned. November, tooltips, combat pets. Winter Weekends announcement. December, Christmas update. This Menaphos update, plus Invention, was effectively the last headline piece of content released in 2017. So yes, we did hit the nail on the head. And in many ways, the reason we're talking about this is that this achievement system was the harbinger of what 2017 was going to look like until things started to turn around a bit in 2018. And even those, we describe those as lightning in a can. Things like the Clue Scroll rework and the player-owned farm and You Are It and the quest, the needle skips. So, oof. Okay, go ahead. We did get someone who would put that stamp on it and ensure content was delivered of quality.
Mm-hmm. And what happened?
It took until 2019 to get him, but we got him eventually.
We got him eventually, and look what it did, right?
Yeah.
Because
haven't had a problem like that since.
And as good as archaeology was, he held it.
Yeah.
He held it to make sure that it was perfect, that it would be received the way that it was. It did not have, like, it was complete. It did not have a bunch of bugs.
Yeah.
Like, it was a complete reset of expectations.
Almost you could say the great reset. Content.
Well, this was a reset on the community's expectations for what updates should actually be.
Yeah, and we're talking about Mod Warden, by the way.
Yeah.
And just to show that it didn't even get that much better in 2018, we had updates like Back Criminal Bolts in January, Clue Scroll Overhaul in February. March was Deep Sea Fishing. Okay, that's good. April, Safe Cracking. That was good. May, You Are It. June, The First Elite Dungeon. July, Clan Improvements on the Beach. August, The Second Elite Dungeon. September, The Quest Point Shop. October, November, December, relatively low-key following that. So you can see that they started delivering content, I think, that the players wanted in 2018, but they were already on this path, I think, before Mod Warden got there in 2019. He just they were on the path. He kind of just reaffirmed it and polished it up a bit.
Yeah, no, they were definitely starting to regain the trust of the community. They were starting to put out good updates. But I think what Mod Warden did when he came in was this reassurance that we don't have to make an arbitrary date. We set these dates.
Yeah.
We want quality content first and foremost.
And I think we can talk about this now, but in the preparation for the episode where we had him on, there was actually an internal push to delay the 120 Herblar and farming into the new year.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a release date that was committed to, so they held it and they actually rushed to get it out at that point in time. So,
yeah.
That's an example of meeting those guidelines and keeping that player trust.
Well, it's an example of knowing what you could do it to and what you couldn't, right?
Yeah.
Because that content, while it was, you know, it was good content and it was expansive, I don't remember a lot of bugs coming out with that.
No.
So, you know, it was pretty tight versus a new skill that has to be picture perfect. Like it has to be.
Yeah.
Like it has to hit hard.
Exactly. And that's why I wanted to include that longer clip from the podcast, because we highlighted just how important it was going to be to hit on the quality marks, but it just wasn't there at that time. Metaphos, Shattered Worlds, and the rest of 2017. Mm-hmm. And I think we all had a lot of questions at that point in time about where things were going to go. So,
mm-hmm.
And in some ways, and I don't like doing this, but I view the achievement system as kind of like a petri dish of what the state of the game was at the time, right?
Well, it's kind of like, it's like that, but it's also kind of like a time capsule in a way,
yeah.
Right? Like it's literally the insect stuck in amber. Like it was this transitional period, but it's only captured with, you know, the recordings from the podcast. Because if you looked at it now,
right?
You would say, what update were you talking about?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that there's no one else offering this kind of commentary on the stuff week to week.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do it, and it's good, and they're all preserved for posterity. But this is just the opinion of, you know, about a half dozen or so people that gathered together to form the opinions on this, right? So
right.
But it just, I'm glad we came to be where we're at today. You know, I think we can sum it up with the concluding remarks where I said, a new player who uses the system once it's filled out will find it useful, and that's where we ended up with. And there was the big if, that if you can figure out how to use the system, despite being unable to click between achievements and learn more about all the achievements, then it will be useful with that. And then lo and behold, there, that's another thing that was fixed with time. But I questioned myself the same thing I've done with all the two previous clips, is were we too harsh on this at the time for asking that it to do what a full-fledged achievement system like what you would have had on Steam did at the time.
Yeah. I don't think it was too harsh, because I don't think you could have possibly known what that looked like. And basically what you were saying was, it's a good skeleton, but it has issues.
Yeah.
And every one of those issues, I mean, not everyone, but most of those issues were all addressed. Right? Like,
yeah, that's fair. Ay, ay, ay. Aren't you glad we don't have hard-hitting things like this anymore? Or maybe maybe we do want things like that. I don't know.
But it is good to take this perspective, because I can remember, like, that was a pretty dark time. Not only were updates not hitting, but when they would come out, like, even smaller updates were, like, having major game-breaking consequences.
Sigils.
And bugs. Yeah, sigils, exactly. Like, and we just don't see that level anymore. Knock on wood, right? But,
yeah,
I mean, you know, people may complain it's not the weekly updates that we're used to, and, you know, hey, it's hard for us too as content creators.
It's not easy,
but I think from a health of the game perspective, I'm not sure it's ever been stronger.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point. And once again, it'd be good to hear the counterpoint on that if you guys think we're in a particularly bad state. And we're, of course, ignoring the microtransaction side of it, because that opens up a whole different can of worms, and that's an entire different discussion that we can have. So,
yeah.
Because yeah, there's been iterations on that too. There's been iterations on that too.
Yeah, I'm not taking that into consideration. I mean, I'm talking about, like, the execution of the updates and the quality of the things that we get now.
Yeah, and I think that part of the reason we came down so hard on it is that both Siron and I have the software background. And for anybody who's studying software engineering, one of the courses that you should be taught and should be covered quite extensively is software quality, in terms of learning how do you practice good software design, software engineering, whatever you want to call it, to ensure that you're not going to build these problems into whatever you're shipping. And then as a manager, how do you build your team to hit deadlines to make sure that you allow yourself the opportunity to recover should something like this come up, And then finally, on the QA and test side, how do you design tests to not only make sure everything works and doesn't crash halfway through what it's doing, but how do you also make sure that it accomplishes the thing of having a usable user interface with it too? And these are all things that people have written, you know, theses on and whatnot on the software engineering landscape. And there is literature out there about how to do this. And that's why we came down so hard on it, because Jagex at the time of a multi-million-dollar company should have had the ability to bring that talent in. And it wasn't until 2018, 2019 that we saw them start attracting that cross-industry talent that could do just that.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So before we wrap this up, let's have a look at where we're at here in 2022. We, of course, have the regular achievements that are added to game. As we talked about, we have, of course, the achievements for things like the AYA skilling and the accidental skilling that recently came out. So there's that. Achievements are added regularly whenever there's a headline piece of content added to the game, which is wonderful. I think people wanted that from the very beginning, so I'm 100% on board with that. We have new paths. We have the path, of course, that we talked about at the very beginning for the new player experience, in that that's what they get you in doing right away in the tutorial. It teaches you and moves you all throughout Burthorpe, so it utilizes it for the new player side. But there's also paths if you want to go down the Master Quest Cape, go down the Comp Cape and such. They're all there, and they're all provided as options for you in order to be able to do with that. So, once again, all these sorts of things were iterated on over time, and it was a combination, I think, of having the pipeline there to do it in terms of building the updates to take advantage of it, but also just iterating on the user interface over time, I think. And I think, and this is my opinion on this, but I think we're actually at a point right now where this is what Sirion and I wanted for the achievement system, where we have it today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you described it like pretty much the way that it exists now.
Yeah.
As to be the way, you know, that you were hoping it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Even taking into account, you know, Sirion's reservations on Jagex's follow-through up until that point. But I think that's what draws such a contrast, right? Because had the same thing happened today, I think there would have been more willingness to say, well, they'll stick with it, right?
Yeah.
But yeah. Back then, it wasn't the same feeling.
Because we had no idea what the future was.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, I think what we've wound up with is we've wound up with a situation here where if you wanted to, you could play the entire game based on these achievements. I don't know how entertaining that would be. You'd obviously have a better luck if you did it with something like archaeology. But you would definitely have a better time than you would have had previously with that. So,
well, yeah, I mean, and people do play for rune score and stuff. Oh, yeah. Now, like as a major, you know, like end game goal for them.
Yeah. And you know, there's still archaeology achievements I haven't done. I haven't apparently started a research contract with a full team of consultants or brought hell in the perfect cup of tea yet.
Well, she's not going to like that.
No, and apparently I haven't completed all the agility courses yet either. I haven't made all the different types of cheesecake. Surprising, that's not comp. Interesting. And you're right, I did use this system when I was going for comp, and, you know, looking at this, it's a perfect template if I ever wanted to go for Master Quest.
Yeah, and that would be a good one to, like, use it for, because there's so
many. Yeah, and like we discussed, Master Quest is just, you know, so many little oddball achievements here and there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. I feel a lot better now than I did in 2017, and I felt a lot better talking about this here because I didn't know coming into this if we would have been too harsh on it. And it's not like me to second guess ourselves like that with that, with one of these updates.
No.
Mainly because I see where we wound up. So I'm happy with this. Do you have any closing words before we go?
I mean, do you have any winning lottery numbers, you and Sirion? Can you get together and maybe give me a quick?
Because that's kind of what it was, right?
Yeah.
Like we're very prophetic.
Yeah.
With that. And I wish we could use it for that. But we can't.
It's too bad.
Yeah. Alrighty, folks. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that RuneScape Then and Now segment looking at the achievement system of 2017. Safe to say, I don't want to go back to 2017, early part of that year for RS, given where we were and that things really didn't get better until 2018. So.
Yep. No looking back, only looking forward.
Yep, sounds good. Speaking of looking forward, there's something called double XP happening this week, so we're just going to each have a glass of water, but before we do that and go through the achievements, you have a pick of the week for us this week.
I do. So you might remember, it's been a few years back at this point, but there was a game that was put out by Frontier that was called Jurassic World Evolution. I was a big fan of this game. It was a lot of fun. It was my kind of a management game. And when I say that, I mean, would it quench Shane's insatiable capitalistic desire to squeeze every penny out? You know, it's a little more casual, I guess, you know, all about the dinosaurs. But Jurassic World Evolution 2 has all of this, all of that stuff, and more. I mean, you have, you know, now you can have your dinosaurs and goons, and there's, you know, the aquatic dinosaurs and the flying dinosaurs, and that little entrepreneur spirit that Shane would love to kindle, you can go in there and adjust your prices and your shops. Like they've made it down to that kind of a detail if you'd like. And it used to be like, you know, your stars are what you're looking for your park, you know, your star rating. And there was a lot of stuff that went into it. Now it's pretty much straight profit. So the more profit, the better you're doing, the more star rating you get. But it's just a lot of fun. The reason I've always loved it as much as I do is it's a fun game to play with your kids. You know, depending on their age, they might not understand the controls and stuff, but they can sit there and you know, get excited about the dinosaurs, and it's educational. You can talk about fossils and you can talk about, you know, how they're formed and this and that. There's just enough, you know, real science that is alluded to that it can kind of give you a jumping off point to, you know, talk to your kids and stuff. And it's all fun. So it's actually out on Game Pass right now. That's where I picked it up. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. Think Roller Coaster Tycoon meets
but with dinosaurs. But with dinosaurs. Yeah. And these guys are the same people as that are behind Planet Zoo, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah,
the zoo game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I remember when we when you first did this for Pick of the Week, definitely resonated with a lot of people. And, you know, I think it makes sense they put it out because I think there's a new movie of the series coming out in June at some point. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, I honestly think we're overdue for games like this. I feel like a lot of the games in this day and age are very heavily blockbuster oriented unless they come from the indie game studios and such. So it's nice to see something that kind of just, you know, is more laid back, kind of in that same vein, like you said, a Roller Coaster Tycoon, or dare I even say it, I don't think this is what it's like, but The Sims, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's that style, right? Like, yeah.
And the best part is that if you have Game Pass, you don't need to pay for the entire thing. You can just try it for an hour, and if you don't like it, uninstall it, uninstall it, and there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I mean, it's the best part, and it's even available on cloud gaming. So like, you don't even have to worry about having some massive PC running all these calculations
Mac,
and stuff. Like it's
or
great.
Tablet, I think, supports that too.
So, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Amazing how you can open that up to everybody. We have the Steam copy linked in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com, but also on Game Pass as well if you have access to that. All right. Let's do some achievements of the week since it's double XP time.
All right. Well, let's get started.
Strap
here.
In.
With starting on the 25th, we have Ariel with 99 Slayer. We have JamAndy52 with 200 mil ranged. We have LaSertz with 120 Thieving and 120 Hunter. We have Lahatsi with 99 Fire Making. We have Xenon Ray with 120 Attack. The Zookeeper53 with 99 Construction. We have Lord Deluxe with 99 Fletching. We have Seabreeze24 with 120 Invention. We have Ariel with 99 Dungeoneering. Dat Engineer with 120 Agility. Dennis with 120 Smithing. We have Iron Ass with 99 Herbore. JamAndy52 with 120 Constitution. We have Lahatsi with 99 Slayer. We have Luck PPP with 120 Dungeoneering. Obi Denobi with 99 Thieving. Shane Remy with 120 Dungeoneering.
No relation here. We're not doing Dungeoneering again.
And Spy Woman with 120 Farming. So very nice. People still banging out some great achievements this double XP.
And continuing on the 22nd, we have 82nd Airborne with 120 Fire Making, Alex 43 with 120 Construction, Darth Wolfus with 200 million Magic XP, Guy Lafleur with 120 Invention, Ham Zach with 99 Summoning, Jakir with 120 Construction. Then on the 21st, we have Hey, I'm Zach with 99 Herblore, Ubi Danubi with 99 Divination, Thieves got 200 mil Smithing XP, Todio22 got 99 Smithing, and then on the 20th, we have Atmohua with 99 Dungeoneering, Izadia with 99 Hunter, Battle Slash X with 99 Invention, Bryflex with 120 Summoning, Lahatsi with 99 Attack and Constitution, Lord Deluxe with 99 Cooking, and Luke Totodile with 120 Woodcutting. Congratulations, everybody. Nicely done. That's the first half of our double XP achievements, and next week, of course, we'll have the rest of the slate out there for everybody.
Yep.
Speaking of, how's your double XP been?
Not...
Crickets?
Yeah, a little bit. Not, I mean, I still have way too much at this point.
Have you been turning it in?
No.
No.
I have not done that.
Yeah, because you could have turned in an hour a day to Nick the Trader.
Yeah, I didn't even really think about it. But, you know, it's okay. I've gotten everything that I've wanted to get out of it. I don't feel like I missed out or anything. It's just,
no.
You know, it's different now. When you don't have the same communal kind of feeling, you don't really hang out and get with your friends and play for, you know, hours on end in the same way.
Yeah.
I'm still playing very casually because I know I can't.
And plus with that, you don't need to because you have the levels already and there's no push to just do it in 72 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like most of the Double XP live events, there's, you know, it's a mix, and it's kind of like wherever you like your gameplay. Honestly, I love that I wasn't under pressure. I don't, you know, feel bad. At the same time, I look and be like, oh man, I got a lot of time left, you know?
Yeah.
But that being said, got some pretty good smithing gains, so I can't complain.
Are you selling it, or are you?
Yeah.
Ooh. What did the profit margins on that look like?
Oh, well, I mean, I made it all, so, like, it's all profit.
Nice.
Like, yeah, I mean, because I mined everything, right? So it's all profit for me. I think I sold, like, 109, and they just sold for 145 mil. So, you know. And here's the funny part.
And who says skilling can't make money?
Well, right, and I still have 38,000 Elder Rune bars left.
Oh, my God. And how many is it to get to a plus 5?
Oh, I don't
know.
Or
a plus 4, even.
I'm not sure.
Let's see. Elder Rune plate body. Because I'm curious about this now. How many bars did you say you had left?
38,000.
So, yeah, you have 38,000 bars, and each plus 5 takes 160 bars to make. That's 237 plate bodies. And how much is each plate body going for? Elder Rune plus 5?
Well, I'm just making threes.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you can make more.
Because they'll go down in profit above three.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't think the GE price is right on that. It can't be right. It says it's only 137K for a plus 5. It's got to be higher than that, right?
Yeah, it's got to be higher than that.
Yeah. So, that's so interesting to me that we see that with smithing, and we see it with all the other skills on that front. So,
if you're willing to take the time and do the grind,
take the time and do the grind.
But it's honest.
Rather than the old saying of "do the crime and do the time."
Yeah, there you go.
This time it's take. Take the grind, do the time. I don't know. Anyway, for me, on the main, a little bit of wood cutting and Reaper in raids, honestly. 42 hours left there.
Yep.
On the alt, I am closing in on 88 divination.
Oh, nice.
So that's for porters. And then with that, I can pick up archaeology again. So what I imagine myself doing is maybe doing some woodcutting on the weekend, because that's only level 50, and I'd like to jack that up a bit. But other than that, I mean, who can say no to double progress on the archaeology front, right?
Yeah.
Because that's actually exactly why I stopped. I stopped archaeology was that, one, I didn't have porters, and two, I didn't have an augmented matic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I did for that was I just used protein cogs to get to 27 to make the augmenter.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's actually really difficult to get the augmenter if you're not doing combat with invention, believe it or not.
All right. Because
the augmented tools don't come until after. So you got it, in effect, forces you to do augmented combat before augmented tools with invention. Unless you're doing something like lamping it or doing the protein cogs. So I got that up. And then, like I said, after that, perhaps just some wood cutting to bring some of the skills in the 50s up. Might go for all 60s and then put the rest of the time into just doing archaeology. So lots of fun options there for that. But that's been my double XP. And, you know, like you said, it's an entirely different perspective with not having the rush of having to do it for the first weekend and not having these huge laundry lists of things that you want to get done that are these huge mammoth tasks. And that's what I said as well as we headed into the shows. So many more people just seem to be taking this one, of all of them, more casual, I think. I said I logged in about an hour after it started into Clan Quest. And normally That's prime time for this, but we weren't even, you know, beyond a dozen members online for this, which was odd for us. So, but I guess that's just where we're at with Double XP, and it kind of got me thinking maybe Double XP needs to evolve at some point again in some way. I don't know what that would look like, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But
something to think about.
Yeah, definitely is. Definitely is. But with that being said, that's pretty much it for this episode of RSVNB Update. So thank you, everybody, for being here. If you guys enjoyed this glimpse to the past, or as we called it, RS Then and Now, RuneScape Then and Now, let us know. Tell us what you'd like us to do next. Ideally, we want to go for pieces of content that are more than 5 years old or recovered when we didn't have the breadth that we do on the production team. So if you have an idea of what you'd like to see for this kind of segment, let us know, because I think we've proven that they can be very interesting. So let us know what you'd like to see on that. But in the meantime, you don't want to miss a podcast. So subscribe. We're on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB. Subscribe, give us a like there. And of course, if you want the audio version, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, Pocket Casts, and Stitcher, amongst other things. Just visit update.rsbnb.com/subscribe. And with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
See ya.